Managed colonies of Hawaii honeybees are coming back from the destruction of the varroa mite. A decade ago, the blood-sucking pest threatened Hawaii's bees. In response, the UH Honeybee Project was founded to help beekeepers cope. Greater populations of bees are now opportune as growth, as grown in Hawaii produce gets more attention with Governor Ige's push to double Hawaii food production by 2020. Ethel Villalobos is head of the UH Honeybee Project and was out giving bee demonstrations this past weekend and traveling quite a bit. She's with us now. Good to have you. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Just as a reminder, if I were a bee, what would it be for me to have a varroa mite on me?
It would be pretty horrible. Imagine a tick the size of a big salad plate attached to your back or to your stomach. Plus, the tick will have some nasty diseases, some viruses that will make you even feel even worse.
This is, pretty detrimental to not only just particular bees, but as a whole, what we were seeing in the population. But it seems as if there are ways of coping with varroa, largely that have come through your organization, that have been helping farmers and helping other beekeepers. What specifically has made the difference?
A lot of things, including participation of the beekeepers, are work in collaboration with developing of new treatments. There was a Canadian company that was very interested in testing it in Hawaii. So we participated in that trial. The chemical is an organic chemical. So we were able to steer the beekeepers to follow organic practices rather than adding more pesticides to the already stressed out bees. And I think that has proven very successful.
Can you give us an example of how that happened with some of the farmers and what they've been able to do and how they're able to build this? I mean, it's not just the idea if you have a box and in go the bees. There were more issues to it than that.
No, there were. And the original style of beekeeping, because we had so few pests and the bees were so healthy, it was simply keep a big box, the bees will make honey, you'll go and get honey when you need honey. So it was a very simple affair. So it took a while of kind of realigning people's heads in terms of you need to actually check them. They're sick. You need to provide treatment. You need to make sure that they have enough food. You need to plant things that they like. And through time, especially the farmers, saw the advantage of even changing their own agricultural practices and switching to different kinds of weeding, using less herbicides, using less pesticides, because they really value the contribution of the bees. So it was a pretty holistic change at the level of the farm and beekeepers and farmers. And it really did have a profound impact, and is having a profound impact that you can tell even in the public, in the general public.
I was just going to ask you, and what about the rest of us who aren't having to do this and keeping, a bee that is also helping with a family farm?
A lot more interest in bees, a lot more interest in what can I do at home, what can I plant, what can I do to help beekeepers or to help bees. And our answer is usually very simple. Buy local food, buy local honey, support the beekeepers, support the people that produce in a very sustainable fashion, go to the small markets, and really support agriculture at the local level.
The supporting of local agriculture is a message we've heard for a long time, but do people understand what would happen in the absence of the bees, or what kind of produce might be available were there not bees to pollinate?
We're working on it. And yes, they do, but not 100%. Just recently, this past Saturday, we had an event at the Urban Garden Center, and people were asked to fill a quick survey. And what we're trying to gauge is the understanding of the public. So, for example, do people have basil? Yes, they do. Do they know that basil is good for bees? Yes, they do. But people also think tomatoes are bee pollinated, which usually they're not. So we're trying to build that distinction and gain information from them to, in essence, turn around and find ways to communicate which is the right and the wrong answer, and help them encourage the flowers that, might be, or the vegetables that they might grow in their backyard that are actually bee-friendly. Something like sweet potato, they seem to not know that it was bee-friendly.
This seems to be pointing to a deeper issue, that we've lost a lot of this knowledge that used to be passed from, one generation to the next to be able to keep not only a beautiful garden, but to be able to have the kinds of plants that we could eat and enjoy, and that the bees would also be responsible for pollinating. This seems to have gone away with all of our industrialized food production. Are we getting back to more of this now, particularly the fact that we are here in this islands, in these islands?
I am hopeful. When you see the number of people that showed up, for example, at this plant sale, that it was a bee-friendly plant sale. When you see teachers that call us to give presentations at the school because they're developing a school garden, I am hopeful. I think a lot of work needs to be done, but I think there's a bright future ahead.
Because we now have 10 years behind us of dealing with the varroa mite. Has Hawaii become sort of a learning lab for other places? Are you called by other places to say, hey, what can you do to help us?
Yes, we are, because we're like one of the most tropical states for the United States. We recently were asked to go help Dominican Republic and Haiti. And we went, myself and a grad student, went as in a program called Farmers to Farmers, which is part of the federal government USAID program. And we went to help train people that are starting a co-op for beekeeping, that want to do organic beekeeping of all things. And it was extremely rewarding personally and professionally to be there and to see that this is a way of increasing people's income that requires very little input, that is cheap, but has tremendous rewards and can change the way they view their trees, their native trees, their native flora, their native insects. So it was extremely rewarding for us to be there. And in a couple of days, we'll be heading down to Costa Rica with one of the queen breeders from Hawaii, who's helping people, in a sense, tame a little bit the Africanized bee that is down in Costa Rica.
We have heard that we've been sort of sourcing queen bees for the mainland for a long time, and that we've been actively involved in that with other beekeepers on the mainland too. Has this spread to the mainland? Are there lessons from the mainland that we can take back here?
Yes, I think there are. People in the mainland are actually concerned about what you said, the large scale, the impact of large scale agriculture, the impact of food production in such scale that is disruptive to the environment. And I think there's a lot of love for the eye now in Hawaii, that people want to regain some of that control and want to feel that what they're doing is not so damaging. So I think there are lessons. I think the U.S. is sometimes split in their, you know, in their goals. But Hawaii, I think, gives a tremendous value to their own land and their own people being able to be self-sufficient. So I'm hoping that will lead us in the right path.
Including to food security, or at least a greater measure of food security.
Yes, bees are incredible as a component to diversify the production of a small farm. If you don't have bees, you have less fruit. If you don't have other pollinators, including flies, you don't have as many mangoes, for example. So we're trying to also tell people about that you need a range of pollinators, that you need a healthy garden. So a healthy garden is healthy people. So we are diversifying by producing vegetables, fruits, nuts. So hopefully that message is getting across. And I, based on, like I said, the visits in the Urban Garden Center, I think it is.
And before we have you go away and have to say goodbye, if there's one plant that you think should be in everybody's garden to be able to say welcome, put out the welcome mat for bees, what would it be?
Basil.
I guess I'm covered then. Okay, thank you so much. Esther Villalobos is a researcher in the UH Manoa Department of Plant and Environmental Protection Sciences. She focuses on varroa mite treatments, bee or mite bee interactions, colony health assessment, and hygienic behavior.